Okay, so what's going on, Miss Gill?
Oh, well, we're having a very mild weather week, which is lovely.
Oh, there he is.
And I just finished what I need to submit for my oldest year taxes. If I can just find the rest of the packet, I can turn it in tomorrow.
Oh, good for you.
That's exciting.
Progress. Progress.
So that's one down and several to go, but at least that's going to be one more down.
There you go. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Always to get one good to get one thing off the plate.
Well, it's just been a mind, I guess it's been playing a mind game on me because it just seemed like it was an impossible burden to even touch it, and it wasn't that bad to get in and finish it because I'd done most of the work. So, and I have a very cute little dog here staring at me, letting me scratch his chin. They had baths yesterday and they're all fluffy.
Oh,
Oh,
it
your guy looks like he's in heaven.
Yeah, he is.
And the fur flows.
Oh,
He's
most cats
sitting.
won't lie on their backs, will they?
He does a lot, actually. Legs open. Maybe it's a male thing.
Could be.
Baby.
Could be. And how are you, Rachel?
Oh, there we go. See, I only get a few minutes.
You always have to take advantage of that time.
I
Yeah.
take them when I can get them.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing okay. About the same as last week with the journaling and meditation, but at least it's holding. So I'll do that. And then I also have really kind of gotten even more into this whole ADD journey, which is really tr showing me that a lot of things that I thought were just my personality or the way I did things are actually my brain. So it's nice in that, I feel like maybe there's a way forward and some solutions, but trying to find the right people to help with that is a bit frustrating.
So, what have you learned specifically that, if you don't mind sharing?
Not at all. Just things like I'm chronically late to appointments, and just I used to when I was working, I'd be late to work. And that turns out that that is actually something wrong with my brain that I can't figure out. Like I'm not good with how long things are going to take me. Also, you get distracted when you're doing stuff, so then that takes longer, or you lose things, so that adds to it. So yeah, you end up always like running late and like chronically late, and that's been something my whole life. Also, eating turns out that we use food to stimulate our brains. So especially when we're bored, and people with ADD get bored faster than others. So that's been a problem I have fought my whole life. It's like, why do I eat when I'm bored? And it's like, there's not a choice. I don't know how else to say it. It's like something compels me to move and get the food. It's not something I can fight against. And turns out that that's again because people with ADD use it to stimulate their brains because our brains are underactive. That's also why you'll see a lot of people with this have abuse substances, whether that's legal or illegal substances, but that and a lot of people will also have problems with like impulse shopping. Because your brain doesn't have the same sensors on impulse control and judgment. What else have I learned? Oh, kind of another big one is this, like forgetting my train of thought or retracing my steps to try to remember my train of thought. And again, it just ends up in like a waste of time, you know? So then you also use stress to stimulate your brain and to motivate you, because there's a dopamine issue as well. So that's why, like in school, I would wait till like the last minute to start a paper. I did it at work too, you know, last minute to turn something in or get something finished, because again, it's a way your brain uses the stress to motivate you, because you don't have the dopamine available to motivate you. So you end up finding ways to stress yourself or put pressure on yourself into motivating yourself. Yeah, it's real tricky. It's weird. And then for me, because I don't have the hyperactivity, I will have bouts of like, I can't get off the sofa. And again, it's not, I'm telling myself like, Rachel, get up, do the thing, do the thing, do the thing. But everything else will not comply. And then you beat yourself up over it, you know? And that's another thing, is looping negative thoughts is another symptom of ADD. Like, because generally you were told when you were younger, you know, you're too much, you're not enough, you're too loud, you're too excitable, stop talking. And, you know, you're lazy, you're not getting stuff done, you don't apply yourself. Oh, I heard that so many times. You don't apply yourself. You're so smart, you don't apply yourself. You're not reaching your potential. And then you know, after you hear it enough, and as a young person, you internalize it.
Yeah.
And I just see how, you know, and then those loop in your brain. So when you can't get yourself to motivate, you go back to all of those things. Like, I'm just lazy. I'm just not applying myself. There's something wrong with me. That's where it ends up taking you, because you feel like something is wrong with you. And there actually is something wrong with you.
Well, something different.
Right, right. Your brain just works different, but because of, you know, the way people want you to act, you internalize it as something's wrong with me, you know? And if you don't know what's wrong with you or what the thing is, how it's working on you differently, then you come to the conclusion that, you know, something's messed up and that you're powerless to fix it. So eventually that leads to depression and, you know, and a lot of people, because we beat ourselves up more than others. And because at a young age, we had this negative input. So all of those things. And I'm sure there's more if you really want me to go into it. But like I said, it's just been eye-opening. It's like, these are things that I've been struggling with my entire life. And it's like, wow, really? So it's all related to this. And, you know, it's a relief on the one side. And on the other side, it's hard to not beat yourself up, because it's like, if I had only known this earlier.
Hey, so do you have a choice on whether you beat yourself up about if I'd known this earlier or not?
I mean, not really. Dr. Amen has, or Ahmet, however you say his name, he has a thing. I was telling you guys, the ants. It's automatic negative talk is what it stands for. And he has a way to walk you through that to try to help stop the thoughts. But it's, you know, like anything else we do, you know, it's practicing, it's, and eventually it will help you, but it's not like going to change overnight, you know.
Rewrite those neural pathways.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, potentially the medication helps. I don't know. I'll see if I can get it to try that out. But, you know, I pretty much already eat the way that they suggest. I stopped caffeine. That's another thing they tell you not to do. I was never big on caffeine. Like, I would have one or two cups of coffee a day. But I've pretty much completely stopped that. I don't drink coffee in the morning anymore. I do bone broth. So I'm pretty much eating, you know, and the exercise I could be better with. So I need to get better at that. Cause they say that's another thing, cause it'll like flow more blood to your brain and get it working a little better. And then of course, medication, the supplements, I'm pretty much on all the ones they suggest already, that I found through other weird pathways, and tried, and some of them do work. They help, you know, it doesn't like fix it, but you can see a little improvement. So yeah, the missing pieces for me are like, I think the medication, and then, you know, having probably someone to kind of check in with on a regular basis about what I need to do, what I am doing, you know, how are things going? Dr. Amin also has an online course for ADD, and it's meant to help you improve your symptoms in 30 days. So I'm considering that, because to go see him and do all the brain scans and that is like $5,000, which obviously I can't. And of course, insurance doesn't cover it. So yeah, I'm going to try to get my general to just give me like a month of meds to see if it makes a difference. And then I'm thinking,
it can be quite transformative from what my friends say, but there are different ones, and the first one may not be the trick.
Right. Right.
There are newer ones. They're not all uppers.
Right. But I think I actually need the upper, because I'm the kind of ADD. I don't have the hyperactivity. But that's, you know, I don't know all of that. I mean, again, in his book, he tells you the different kinds and suggests it for the type of ADD you have. When I did his test, it came out that I have 5 of the 7 types. So I was like, there it is. And all the other tests I've taken too, I score very highly. So I don't think it's a question of, if do I have it? I think it's a question of figuring out what's going to work for me. Yeah. So, you know, but like I said, it's good in that I feel like at least there's a path forward.
And maybe a power.
Yeah. And maybe a light at the end of the tunnel. So, and I've heard the same thing, like that a lot of people, it's very transformative to get on the medications. So I don't really want to go that route, but since I feel like I'm doing the majority of what is suggested to do that isn't medication related, that it's like, maybe I do need that. So it's kind of, I don't know, upsetting a little bit, because I don't want to have to be, have to take medicine to be, you know, more productive. But at the same time, like, I don't want to keep doing this, you know? So I figure it's
worth the trip. You wouldn't hesitate to take high blood pressure medication, or you wouldn't hesitate to take insulin if you were type 1.
Yeah.
If it's going to be life changing,
right?
Give it a try.
Yeah, that's what I figure. I mean, I might as well try it. If I don't like it or I don't like the side effects, I can always go off, or we could try something else. You know what I mean? So I figure I might as well at least try it, because that's the only way I'm going to know for sure if it's going to help. You know, I just don't like the idea, because I just don't like to take medication. You know, I'm like that person that's like, can we just do turmeric? I don't think we can do turmeric in this situation. So, you know, yeah. So I'm just kind of taking it one step at a time.
So can you meditate?
I can. I mean, there's a lot going on. That's always been the case for me, you know, and I can get to a place where For me, it feels like I'm sitting in the middle of the freeway with all the cars rushing around me, but I'm just observing. So there is a lot that goes on, but at least I can get to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm just watching it happen.
And is that all the time, anytime, or is that specifically in meditation?
Oh, the thoughts are there all the time.
No, I mean the observation. Is that how you meditate, that you're able to go into observation?
Yeah.
Instead of being in the flow of traffic.
Yes, I can go into observation during meditation. In life, it's not as easy. I think mostly because there's lots of other stimuli in life, and I'm easily distracted. So, like, for instance, when I'm talking to someone and say we're on the street talking, like, I will get sidetracked with whatever's happening behind the person or over here, and then I don't hear everything they say. So I think it's that extra, like, stimuli that is problematic in, like, day-to-day. But I think that now that I'm more aware of it, I think it will help me to be more aware in day-to-day as well. Like, now that I'm learning the symptoms and, like, what's that, you know, I think that will, I mean, awareness is awareness. And I think when you become aware, you just start to see it more, no matter what. So I'm hoping that I can do that in regular life. But yeah, and then if I am listening to, like, one of your guided meditations, that I have no problem with. I think it's because you're guiding, you know what I mean? Like, and don't get me wrong, there will be times where I check out and then I'm like, oh, I don't remember her saying this part, you know? Like, mm-hmm. So that does happen sometimes, but I don't see the traffic. That makes sense. When I'm listening to a guided meditation, it's like I am able to focus a bit more on the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then my body will relax. But if I'm just, like, sitting in meditation with, you know, either just music or silence, that's when, like, I'll just see, like, the 405.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm like, okay, let me just observe.
So have you done any research on holistic approach to managing ADD? Maybe there's something you can just add to the turmeric.
Yeah, I have. And that's what I'm saying. I already take all the supplements that they suggest. And then the food and the exercise. So the only thing I think I need to still, and I've been doing better, is upping my exercise. He suggests about an hour of, like, fast walking, like as if you were late to something, 5 to 7 days a week for people who have ADD. And I don't do it that often, but I have found a friend now who likes to walk, so that's helpful. And then I'm just trying to do more on my own as well. So that's pretty much what I found as far as, like, holistic solutions.
So how much stress do you think you're under, that you're experiencing now?
A lot.
Because, you know, stress puts us into perpetual stress, puts us into survival mode.
Yeah,
we're in survival mode. We've got that fight or flight system is going, and when that's going, the chemicals that are supposed to be released aren't released properly, the ones that we need to function and to operate. And when we try to fix that through thinking, you know, the brain is so incoherent that, like you're talking about, you're sitting, you know, you're in that flow of the 405 and there's no getting off because there's no exits. And when we try to fix things and try to solve the problem, because we're not able to think coherently, we automatically go into, I'm broken, this doesn't work. It makes everything worse because we know we're capable of creating a solution, but we can't, our brain's not helping us get to the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, a big part of the problem, because also with ADD, the more you try to focus on something, the less you can.
So
it's literally a mind fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Literally.
And but that's what survival mode does to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to get out of the survival mode and to unwrap that shrink wrapped energy so that you can think, you know, that's where the meditation comes in, and deep breathing comes in, and focusing on gratitude, because, you know, as best you can,
But I think that's what was helping me too, is like, you know, like I was saying, once I go into gratitude with the journaling, I can keep going. So it does seem like, yes, my brain will loop in negative, and I think that's where it automatically wants to go, just because of, again, like, negative input in my past, and like how I've allowed that to create my self-image and my self-esteem, you know what I mean? But when I journal, I can see how my brain also loops in the gratitude. So it does seem like I can switch it to use it to my advantage potentially.
I think that's the trick to thriving with it.
Exactly. And that's what I'm learning, is like, well, I can't like focus my way out of this. So I think it is like figuring out little tricks or like ways to play on your brain. Like, okay, if you're going to loop in stuff, like, let's loop in the positive instead of the negative.
Well, and the tips and the tricks and stuff is quieting the mind. You know, it's getting your heart and mind back into coherence so that those thoughts can be productive instead of that lightning storm going off.
Right.
So being able to focus.
Mind is hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but when in the meditations that we do the exercise, which is, you know, I've also got it as a separate thing where you can just listen to that over and over again, you know, focusing on your heart, focusing on gratitude, shifting to gratitude, asking the four questions, being aware of your body, you know, going in and being able to hear your heartbeat or feel it as a sensation. And that is focus. And if you can do that, getting into the meditation, then if that were something that you could do on a loop of, you know, like, because it only takes, it's less than 3 minutes. So if you had 3 minutes of that focus, 2 minutes of quiet, or not quiet, but the music, you know, say the music, and then another 3 minutes, and you did that on a focus, a cycle of 5 minutes at a time, you know, like, 15 minutes of a 5 minute cycle. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where would you be in theory? Where would you be after 15 minutes of quieting the mind in that way?
I'm not sure. I think I'd have to try it, because I do also struggle. And why I like the longer meditations is because it takes me a while for things to slow down enough to get into that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why I like the longer ones, because it gives me enough time to do that. Whereas mm-hmm. if I was just doing like 5 minutes or 15 minutes, I don't know if that would be long enough for my brain to chill. Like, even when I just sit in silent meditation, I have to do a minimum of 20 minutes, because it takes me like 10 to 15 minutes for like my mind to just, for me to separate, you know, and be the observer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but well, it's worth a shot.
Well, I can take that that quiet the mind exercise technique and put a minute or 90 seconds of just music after it, and create that as a loop for 20 minutes. That would be five of them at 4 minutes apiece. And you could give it a try and see how it feels.
Yeah, I like that idea, actually. Thanks, Kate. I think that, yeah, I do think I would want it to be a little longer just to give me time, you know?
Would 20 minutes be enough? Or, well, you know what? I could do it for 30, because it's just a matter of copy paste, copy paste, copy paste of the music itself, you know, the whole thing. So it could be longer, and then you could just stop when you were done, when you wanted to stop. You can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think.
Have you ever tried things like coloring?
Yeah.
30 years ago, of course, the ADD stuff wasn't as well advanced, but my husband did a presentation on it. And one of the things he recommended, he said sometimes is effective, is like when kids are having a hard time focusing on school, if they're doing something with their hands, they can focus better. And so I thought, if coloring is something fun to you, but there might be something you do with your hands that would get that part of your brain.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that's actually one of my coping mechanisms. Not coloring per se, but I learned a long time ago in school that when I would take a test, I couldn't focus. And like, I would just like, there was a block and none of the answers would come. And if I took my focus off of trying to remember, and in because you're taking a test, you don't really have anything around you, right? So what I did is I would like start picking at my nails. And this was totally subconscious. Like I did not think it through or any, you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know. One day I was taking a test. I started just focusing on my nails, started picking my nails. And then all of a sudden the answer just popped in. So I've been using this kind of technique of like, look over here to get here.
I don't know if those little fidget spinners, if they're for ADD or they're for something else, but
I don't know.
But just, you know, just to have some other stimulus going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like if I'm trying to learn something, it has to be quiet. And if there's distractions, I can't do it. But then, like I said, when it comes to like recall of information, yes, there is something to like, somehow focusing on something else or taking the focus off of trying, and then it allows my brain to find the thing. But I have to like, yeah, go to something else. Yeah. And I mean, that was just something like I don't know, I just started doing, you know. And then now that I'm seeing all this, I'm like, oh, I have this coping mechanism. But the stress is another one, and I definitely use stress again unconsciously to motivate. You know, I mean, my job was complete and utter stress at all times. You know, the stress of an A-list client coming in, like you got Beyonce coming in at 2 p.m. today and she gets all this stuff and all this food and all da da da, da and getting it all ready and perfect for her. And is the room perfect? And then they show up and then it's like, you know, you're stressed about what they're going to need. Are they going to like your studio, you know, and come back? And so it's like I literally picked a job and a career that utilized stress to keep me motivated and focused. So it's really interesting. It's like, that's how it's just been kind of unfolding for me, is I'm like, oh my God, I actually figured out all these ways and did all this stuff to try to fix it, but I didn't realize that's what I was doing.
That's really interesting. One of my nephews, I always thought he was an adrenaline junkie, but I bet he has ADHD.
I bet he
was
does.
He was a flight nurse, and until one of his friends was killed in a helicopter accident, and now he's managing an OR. But he's always been kind of a thrill speaker.
An OR is a stressful situation too. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, he goes from one to the next thing, and. You know, yeah, it's like I've been doing that my whole life too. You find ways of just like motivating yourself. You don't even realize that you're doing that.
Yeah, it never dawned on me, but I bet he seems like he might be just classic ADHD.
Yeah. And also our brains don't process like judgment or consequences well. And so that's why we'll do a lot of kind of crazy things sometimes, or, you know, things that other people, that kind of scare other people. And I'm a little bit of an adrenaline junkie too. Like I want to jump out of a plane. I've, you know, like I've done bungee jumping. You know what I mean? So like, I do have that too. And then the other thing is impulsivity. We don't have the thing that kind of shuts us down from doing impulsive things. So a lot of times you'll see people with ADD doing impulsive things, like just randomly cutting their hair completely different, or, you know, deciding to go on a vacation tomorrow, you know, like to Australia, you know, like just those kinds of like impulse decisions that other people weigh and take time to determine. And we're more like, ah, doing it. Okay, doing it. So yeah, if he was always an adrenaline junkie, it is possible. It's possible. Yeah. It turns out the cats are similar. Yes. I was dying because they were like, cats have, you know, less judgment and impulsivity and more impulsivity because they're predators. And they need to be able to take risks and not be scared. And you know what I mean? And so they actually, their brains don't have those functions either, similar to people with ADD. And I was like, that's hilarious. I wonder if that's why I like cats. And dogs have more. See, dogs make more, they have less than us, like normal humans, but they have more of the judgment and less impulsivity than cats. Yeah, it's a trip. I wonder now, actually, Gail, now that you said that, I wonder I would think that actually a lot of people with ADD or ADHD would go into the military.
Yeah.
Because it's structured. Because that's the other thing. Like, if I don't have like a step by step, I get very lost in like, what's the next thing? What's top priority? Like, so it is nice to have that structure of like someone telling you what to do, right? And then you can kind of like, okay, I just fall in line. And then plus the excitement,
yeah,
and the stress, you know? So it's like, yeah, I now that you say that, it's, we probably have a lot of people with ADD in the military.
Well, they would be the ADHD ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, apparently jumping out of airplanes is addictive.
That's what I've heard. But I really want to do it. I've always wanted to fly. Like I when I was in high school, I thought I was going to go into flight school out of high school. And then I found out how expensive it was. And then they were like, well, you could also go into the Air Force if you want to fly. You know, you can learn that way. And I was like, oh, hell no, I'm not going into the Air Force. I was a real rebel when I was younger. So I was like, there is no way. So I dropped that. But then I always had dreams of flying, like, and I still do, of me just being able to fly. So it's just
with been or like without a machinery.
Oh, without machinery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just me flying. Like,
whoop. Don't we all dream that?
Not everybody does.
I used to do it. I used to do it. I go out and I could feel the whoosh of lifting off the ground. And the last time I did it, the next morning I had this huge bruise on my shoulder. I ran into something in my flying. Jesse saw it because it was summertime, so the gown I had on or the top, whatever it was, you know, had no sleeves. And she went, "Oh my God, what'd you do to your shoulder?" And I was like, "Oh man, I must have run into something when I was out flying." And it's like, how can that even happen? But I didn't even get out of bed. You know, I didn't do anything in my human body, so it had to have happened when I was out flying around. And that must have been in like 1998, 97, 96 maybe. Because I tried to get Fred to meet me because he was in Denver and I was in Colorado Springs. And he was scared. He didn't want to do it. But the one thing I do remember was flying too fast and thinking I got to slow down. I'm flying too fast, and meeting up with others that I didn't know, but it was okay to fly with. And then I was thinking, is it really? I don't know them. And I don't know these places we're going, and it looks a little scary. And then next thing you know, I have this huge bruise on my shoulder. And yeah, I shut that down. I wasn't being aware enough, you know? I wasn't having enough control over what was happening, whether that's good or bad, you know? Rachel thought it was kind of cool, my friend in the UK.
Oh, I love flying. I never had that problem. Like, I never woke up injured, or sometimes I would meet up with people, but I was fine. But most of the time it was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it would be with animals. Sometimes other animals would be there too. Like, not just birds, like animals that don't fly flying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my dad could do it too. We never did meet up in our dreams, but he had very similar flying dreams to me. It's interesting, though. I will say that I feel like my flying dreams lessened a bit since my dad passed. So I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
I find it interesting you call them dreams. I never would have called them a dream.
I mean, I was sleeping. You know? So.
Well, astral projection is real, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was sleeping, so I just assumed it was a dream. But it felt very real. And I've had other things too, like dreams where I've been with someone and like as I was waking up out of the dream, like I could still physically feel the person, like whether we were hugging or something when the dream kind of concluded. And then I start waking up, like I could still feel the embrace, or you know what I mean? Or like the pressure. Yeah. So my dreams have always been very powerful, but I've never considered, like, was that astral projection? You know what I mean? Like, I just, I'm like, oh, it's, and I dream in color and it's extremely vivid, until again, more recently. And I think that's because I've struggled with sleep, and now I have to like sometimes take stuff to sleep, and then that makes me not remember my dreams.
So the dreams that you remember like that, are they as crystal clear as they were when you experienced the dream itself?
When I remember them, they're all very, 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 very clear. And
those kinds of dreams aren't dreams. Those are reality. So those are things that happen. Like if you say you were sitting there talking to a deceased loved one, when you can remember that experience as crystal clear today as it was when it happened 15 years ago or last week, you know, whatever it was, when it's that crystal clear experience all over again, those are real experiences. They're not just dreams.
Oh, cool. I never knew. I just assumed they were dreams. But I've talked to people about them too, and people are like, I don't dream like that. I'm like, oh, okay.
So Gail, do you fly in your dream in your sleep?
Pardon?
Do you fly in your sleep?
I did when I was a kid. Now what I do is it's like I take long leaps and then I'll go like I'm flying and then I'll hit ground again and then I'll take another long leap and I'll go for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like flying, low level flying.
Do you feel the wings come out your back?
No. Because I still have, well, I have to, the next time I dream, I'll pay attention and see.
I never had wings. I had
dream for a while, but I have dreamt it frequently.
I have wings, but it was weird because it was like, sometimes you do the run and the, you know, and the take off, but other times it would just be kind of like just kind of a walk and then you just kind of scoot down just a little bit, you know, like bend your knees and then whoosh, I could feel it, you know, and it was like my arms would go out to, at first, help unfurl the wings, maybe? I don't know. but I could feel that whoosh of as they came out and helping me to lift off. And yeah.
That's weird. I never had wings either. I've never in my dreams had wings. It's always just I'm me and I can go.
Mm-hmm.
There are other times though where I've had the jumping one like that, like where you're going, you know, very far. It's pretty much like flying, but like you said, like low level.
And then but I do have my arms out.
Yeah, I have my arms out too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's been other times where I am trying to and I can't. Where it's mm-hmm. like, I'm almost like I'm learning again how to fly or something. So I'm like attempting and then maybe it's like not going as far as I want it to. And then I'll get better. You know what I mean? But it's like I'm teaching myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I have all three of those types with the flying, but never wings. But yes, arms out. Absolutely. Arms out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
And it might be fun to go back into that and to have more power or control over where to go and what to do. I had an experience where it was like I know Gail's heard this. I was in an apartment in New York, but it wasn't this one. It was like another dimension. It wasn't the New York of our today. And there were a bunch of people there in this apartment. And all of a sudden we had to go because they were coming, whoever they were. And so we had to escape. And then I found myself in this barn or next to this barn. And I ran into this barn to be safe. And there was nothing in there. But there was a table, that was it. And then this guy comes in and he had on jeans and a white shirt and a black blazer and he had long black hair. And oh my God, he was smoking hot, of course. And I ran over and hugged him like I knew him. And I was thinking, who is this? But I knew him, you know? And then we could hear them, whoever they were, that were looking for us. And they were coming. And so he took my hand and we turned invisible and we got out of the barn and went off out, I don't know, in a field or something. And then he let go of my hand and then I could see us again. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. How did you do that? He said, it wasn't me. It was you. That's why they're looking for you.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah.
And it was, but like I say, it was another dimension. It wasn't this one. And I can remember that just as clear. I mean, I can remember being in that barn and seeing where the wood of the barn didn't meet completely so I could see light through it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was a weird experience. That just kept going cuz then I wanted to know what his name was and he told me his name was Machu Picchu. And I was like, your name is not Machu Picchu. And then we're into an argument. And then instead of saying, why am I turning invisible? We're arguing over the name, you know? It was just, seriously? And then I said, I'm just going to go ask Jesus. He said, fine, let's just go ask him.
And did he tell you Machu Picchu also?
Yeah, he did. And I said, I did. And I said, and how do I know you're really Jesus? And he just shook his head and he goes, Kate. You know, it's serious when Jesus uses your name.
Oh my God.
You know what my energy feels like. You know, it's me. And I thought for a minute and checked in with, you know, energy. Yeah, I'm really talking to Jesus. So his name's really Machu Picchu, huh? And we all did. And they just laughed. And I was like, whatever.
What was for you?
Well, and then I asked.
The name changed all the time.
Later, I asked to meet, how did I meet this guy? Who is this guy that was in my past? And it was quite the experience. And it was back in, you know, like, maybe we were on Machu Picchu. I don't know. But his name was also Black Eagle. So, you know. You just ask questions and try to find out the answer to these things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It actually bums me out that I have to use stuff to sleep because I know that it makes me not remember my dreams, and I love remembering. But I will say they are so graphic and like detailed that sometimes when I remember them, I'll wake up and I almost feel like I didn't sleep. Like mm-hmm. I feel tired, you know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, I don't think I was actually sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Gail, how are your, the things that you've started implementing as your daily routine, how are they working out for you?
Well, the food ones seem to be going pretty well. I am doing a lot better. My voice is a lot better. I am reminding myself that I really need to be ready to turn the light out at 9 o'clock because I've been waking up between 4 and 5. So really, I'm really sleepy then. But if I focus on something, then I get past the sleepiness and I'm wide awake again. So I'm working on that. I've been doing probably every other day the journaling. Sometimes I'll do a morning and then the next day I'll do the night, but I'm doing it more than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I made some.
Let me ask you, when you're doing the journaling, when you're writing in the journal, are you feeling are you feeling a benefit from it as you're writing? Are you seeing ways to support yourself in better ways, or how you're using your power, or ways maybe that you can use your power better for yourself? Are you seeing or feeling anything like that when you're doing the journaling?
I've had a couple of insights that were that I was able to capture that were, I was really glad to be able to capture that thought, because mm-hmm. Sometimes they're blinding flashes of the obvious, but until you see it, they're really not.
Yeah. So what else were you going to say?
That sounds a lot better.
Who knows?
Maybe you have ADD too, Gail.
I some of those symptoms sound awfully familiar.
Well, they do say that it's also in a lot of people, like I think it was 80 or 75%, they believe is genetic.
Of
so not every do. Person that has ADD gets it genetically, but the majority do.
I think I had also read that the way the world is overpowering you with information, a lot of people have the symptoms just from that, not from the world. And that's, I'm telling myself that's what it is. Cause I did not have trouble focusing at school and I always did extremely well.
Yeah. Yeah. And and that can be the case. Although they say sometimes you get it if you've had a traumatic mm-hmm. brain injury of some sort, and it doesn't have to be a major one.
Mm-hmm.
So like me getting hit by that car 2 years ago, that may have actually been what brought symptoms to be worse for me than what they were before. But I don't know because I was never scanned. But yeah.
Well, my husband was pretty sure he had it. I mean, he's real sure he had it. But he thought it was more from a chaotic childhood than genetic.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that too. Chaotic childhood, or.
Because there was a lot of research about, it was real common in cop families.
Yes. Stressful families, or people who have any type of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because
his dad was a violent alcoholic, so.
Yep. Alcoholism is a huge reason why people get it too. Yeah. But any kind of addiction in general, because it makes your life more stressful, you know? And as a kid, you're trying to, keep the peace or stay out of the way, or you know what I mean? So then you do all of these things to try to combat the situation. Well,
he was the mascot.
There's the emotional abuse too, because
that's part of that.
Yeah, there's a part that's part of it.
and for cops too, because they're under so much stress, then they take it out on their families, you know? So, yeah. It's pretty interesting.
So, Gail, how are you doing with your boundaries? You were talking yesterday. Was that just yesterday? Oh my God, it was just yesterday. It seems like it was last week. I saw you last week, but it was yesterday.
Well, I haven't done anything church all week. That feels really good.
There you go.
Since Sunday. Now tomorrow I'll be in gear planning for the service, but yeah, I haven't even sent the amended bylaws to the to Unity Village yet. So that's been nice.
What was it that your friend said to you?
She wanted me to limit set times that I could work on it, and she expected a report on how I was doing with it. Mm. So she has her grandson three days a week before and after daycare because his dad works crazy hours. So Tuesdays and Thursdays are her days that she doesn't have him. And so those are the days she's going to focus on life things and church things. And so it's like, yeah, so Friday and Saturday or Thursday and Friday, that's good. That's a good boundary to not let it creep out of those.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, good. That's great.
So it's a start.
Yeah. You just got to stick to it. It's the discipline. The discipline yeah. that makes it kind of crazy.
well, but that's kind of freed my brain up to work on taxes, so.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Good. Well, all I've wanted to do since last Saturday is sleep. I just want to sleep. I've been reading a little bit. I've been, oh my gosh, I finished up the Musketeers by the BBC, that series. Those guys are so easy on the eyes.
I didn't know they'd done one.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's really good. The guy who plays the king is annoying as hell.
But well, yeah.
He was. He did a very good job. And of course, there's some really bad guys in it. But the four musketeers all lived. So that was good. But anyway, so that's been relaxing, you know. And today I've had two naps today. If I'm sitting still, I go to sleep. And
good for you.
I guess I needed it.
You do.
But I just have to remember that, you know, we're in the pre-shadow of Mercury retrograde. So when Jesse calls me and it doesn't ring, and then she texts me and says, I tried to call you and it went to voicemail. I just say, well, can you call me now? I'm right here. It didn't ring. I'll call you if you can talk, you know. And then when we get cut off because the call gets dropped, hopefully she's not mad. You know, it's just all out of my control. And so I'm just being the observer on the 405.
Sometimes that's all you can do.
Yeah.
And I've been tired lately too. And for no reason, like, you know, I've just been tired. Like the last few days in particular. I feel like last night I was talking to someone on the phone around 9 p.m. and she was like, you need to go to bed. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. And I got off the phone with her and I was in bed by like 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out and I slept all the way until 8. So yeah, I needed it, but I've noticed that too, Kate. So I think it is something, you know, what's going on.
Yeah. Well, we've had more solar flares.
Two full moons.
Yeah, we had the full moon.
Yeah.
And I mean, well, one of those nights, I can't remember if it was which night it was, might have been Sunday night. I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning. Because I was like you, Gail, I was really tired and I got in bed and I was reading something. And the next thing I knew, I was focused on that. And then next thing I knew, it was 2 o'clock. And I was like, what the hell? I got to get some sleep. Magic's going to get up in a few hours.
Yeah. You know, they say too that if you don't go to sleep in that like first window, that you do wake back up, and then it takes like 4 to 6 hours to get to the next window. So that's something I've been focusing on too, is like, if I get in bed somewhere between 10 and 11, I'm good. If I don't get in bed until after or around midnight or after, I'm wide awake. And then it takes me time to like get back to the sleepiness.
Yeah. But I have noticed that if I go to sleep, if I actually go to sleep about between 9 and 10:30, then I'm awake at 3 o'clock. And I used to never have that happen. I'd be able to sleep all night long.
Well, that's 6 hours.
And when I go to when I turn the light out at, you know, 12 o'clock, you know, then if magic, we sleep till 7, you know, I'm still getting a bunch of sleep. So yeah. I threw it. It's over there. I threw it.
It's like, did you say my name?
Yeah, he's been in my lap, but I just threw his toy and he didn't see it. It's over there. I threw it over there.
I know, we're just watching him.
Yeah, well, we're sitting over here by the window, and I don't know if my computer's done or not. My computer said it needed to reboot to get all the updates, and the angel said, wait till after the call. And I said, but I have time to do it now. Oh. Silly me. I didn't have time to do it now. Because it took too long. So we're on the laptop. And the laptop, when the camera doesn't work well with a Zoom for whatever reason.
That's okay. We can pretend that we can see magic.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been all over the place. He's been up, he's been down, he's been getting treats, he's been playing with his toy. Yeah, we're not at the desk, so you know, there are no rules. Okay, he thinks he can do anything he wants whenever he wants to do it.
I love it.
Yeah. So
well, yeah. Tempo made an appearance today.
Yeah, he did.
In place of magic.
He was looking good.
You can't see my guys, but they had a bath yesterday, and they are at the longest phase of their, they get a haircut next time, so they're extra fluffy.
Fluffy. Oh, I want to see them. Where are they?
I don't, yeah, they're too low. They're too low.
They're too low.
Yeah.
They're lying down. Hmm.
So have you guys been able to sit and focus twice a day for about 10 minutes a day on your gratitude and you know, just moving into that space of visioning whatever it is that you're wanting to create and be in that energy? Have you been able to do that?
I don't have a vision, and that's part of the problem.
Okay.
I know what I don't want, but I can't vision what I do.
Can you get to the feeling that you want to feel?
Yeah. And I'm journaling that.
Mm-hmm. If you can sit in that, just in that energy of how you want to feel for 10 minutes a day, 15 if you can, 20 would be awesome, twice a day. Gail, your camera turned off. Sometimes when Gail turns, her camera goes off.
That's funny.
Yeah. There she is. if you can do that, just, you know, because whether you see it or not, if you can get into the feeling of it, oh, I see a puppy back there.
I do. I just got excited. I was like, I see it. I see a head. I see a fluffy head.
That's Mary.
Oh.
Hi, Mary.
That's Miss Mary. Mary girl. Hi.
Oh, look how cute she is.
You got pretty girl.
Oh, look at that tail.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's beautiful.
Wow, it is beautiful.
Come say hi.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, come on. Show off your gorgeousness.
Where she is.
Oh, there she is.
She came around the other side. Yeah. She's messing Come with see. Me, Gail.
She says, no.
She's like, I'm close enough.
I'm she's on a pillow under my craft table. There's William.
There you are, Becky.
Wow, look at his tail.
Oh gosh, oh, yes.
Oh, no. Say hi. Can you say hi? You're so sweet. Go on, baby.
Look at that face. Oh. Hi, baby. Look at you. I see you back there. I only see half of your face, but I see it. Oh, stretchies. I love it when they do that, just plop down.
Come say hi, sweetheart.
William always wants to say hi to us, I feel like.
Come say hi. Come on. Come on, let's go say hi.
Not today.
You can do it.
William, oh my gosh, man, he's okay. Their so ears are really long too. Oh wow,
yeah, they need to be trimmed up. They are it gets in their food.
Yeah,
hi, look at you. Oh my gosh, they're so shiny.
Yeah, Mr. Fluffers.
Yeah, it looks like his hair, his fur is like spun with gold.
He has kind of a velvet coat when he's had a haircut, and she's like satin.
Oh wow!
I love how his little hair is sticking up on his head too. That's adorable.
Yeah. Oh, I love you, sweetie. Thank you.
Oh my god, so cute! Look at that. He could almost have like a little mohawk.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I love you too. Oh, I love you too. Oh, I love you too.
Sweetie, look at that face. Oh.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Madge missed him. He was over there crying. I had to go get him, make him stop crying. But he missed William, or he'd have been huffing.
Oh, yes. You're so handsome. You are so handsome. Yes. You're so handsome.
So the more we can be in the, whether you can vision what you want, the more we can be in that vibration of what you want to feel, consciously choosing, you know, being in that awareness, I can feel it, being there at least 10 minutes. You know, the longer you can do it at a session, the better. And then it just gets easier and easier to do it. But it also opens the way for you to start seeing what you would be doing, how you, you know, what your experience during the day would be in that feeling. You know, what happens when you get up, and where you go, and who you talk to with, and, you know, how you interact with others, and what, you know, what just what comes up, you know, being able to manage that and feel that. I think that the end of, you know, here we are in July, we're almost in August. The chaos outside of us, I know Nina's not feeling it over in Norway, but it's rampant here in the U.S.
Yeah. Did you see the video she posted of their cabin?
I did. I didn't get to comment because I was on my phone, because I can't trust my phone. But when I can get on my computer, I definitely want to go comment that. That was beautiful. What a yeah. beautiful place. And the energy there is just incredible. But here in the U.S., you know, I mean, is what it is.
Well, I think it's shifted since Sunday.
I agree with you.
I think there's a whole lot more hope around.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with that. But the more we can hold our love energy in whatever way we can do it, you know, whether it's in meditation, in journaling, in just sitting and being in that vibration of what you want to experience, you know, visioning it as best you can. And if you don't have a vision of it, just sitting in that vibration, you know, I know you want to feel peaceful, you know, like, what, I don't remember which meditation it was that I did, but one of them was you're resting in the palm of God.
Yeah.
You know, feeling that safety and that security and that love, you know, being able to feel that throughout your body. And then when you complete that session, taking that with you and being aware when that energy starts to slip. And the thing is that the more you go into those sessions where you're focusing on that peace and you're moving into that energy, the more, the stronger that energy is going to get. I was listening to Joe Dispenza's thing on Gaia, one of the sessions earlier today, and he was talking about the quantum field and how it's all energy. It's not matter. You know, it's not 3D things. And we're having to get beyond the 3D. We're having to move into that space of thinking beyond the 3D. Being, you know, and he talks about when you're in that space of, well, meditation, being no one, no thing. You're not feeling any pain in your body. You know, you're in that space of oneness. I don't think he calls it oneness. I call it oneness. He calls it just being no body, no thing. You're just consciousness. And when we can reach that state,
bless you,
then everything is possible because there are no limits there. So when we can move into that state, you know, we can only get there when the heart and the brain are in coherence. And that's, you know, calming everything down, you know, taking the deep breaths, bringing the heart and mind back into coherence where everything is firing together and syncing together instead of firing on all different kinds of directions. The more we can be in that state of being, then everything around us starts to flow with that. The external begins to change too. And it may only be in the room you're in, but then it goes into, you know, it moves into the rest of your home. And then it's into your business or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing. but when we're in that state of being, we're not matter trying to create matter, which is our 3D world. And we've got this perception of, I got to work hard. I got to make this much money because I'm making this much an hour or this much on salary or whatever. All right, this is what my monthly income is. And this is how I pay for things. You know, we're in that 3D materialistic mode. But when we're in the consciousness state, that's where we are. We're in the, we're energy create and we're moving energy. And we're, when we have it, then when we engage an emotion, a passionate emotion of the excitement and joy of experiencing what we want, you know, Gail, in your case, you're wanting to experience peace. When you're sending out that aroused energy of peace and joy and bliss, you're that magnet. That makes you the magnet for that to come. And then say, for instance, everything in the church just starts to flow because you're moving the energy, not the matter. We're in flow instead of trying to force our personal will. And we're thinking beyond the 3D, the material world.
I finally got this printed today.
Oh, cool.
it's going in my book.
Oh, wow. Awesome. I'm going to put that in the book. I've got another drawing to add to it. I may do two, but you know, just, it'll just begin, you know, everything gets better and better. We want everything to get better and better. but then I'll put it in there so that you can refer to it, even on a daily basis. You know, I was wanting to put it in with the daily journal pages so we can see, okay, how did I use, we can actually see how we used our energy today. Well, did I do this? No, not too late to infuse love. I can do it now. You know, when we're infusing love into something, we're not in a fear energy, because you can't be in fear and love energy both at the same time. So we have to be, if you're infusing love into something, you've got to be in the love energy or you're not infusing love.
That tail is twitching.
He's not going to reach out and smack you, is she? No? Cat, that's the thing with cats. They're unpredictable.
Yes, they are. But that's what's good about them too, because that's why they make you laugh. And you know what I mean? Like, they just, as long as, like, if I forced him to stay here, then yeah, he might swat me or bite me. You know what I mean? But it's like, you got to let them do their, what they want to do.
Yeah.
Do you need to go to class?
I will shortly. Yes.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, like, no, I haven't been sitting in the feeling or imagining, because I think it's going to change based on this new information. But when I'm in the meditation, when I'm doing the meditations, I can get to the feeling during the meditation. But I haven't gotten back to just sitting in the feeling or in the visualization, mm-hmm. because it doesn't, what I was doing before, it doesn't feel like it's right, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the more you do the journaling and the meditation, the more, the easier it'll be to get into the energy you want to be in. And through the journaling, whatever it needs to change to be, you'll be guided to change that. It'll just start happening.
Yeah, and that's, I think, where I'm at right now, is I'm kind of, it just seems like things are shifting. And I don't yet know. And I mean, I know the money part, so maybe I could just go into, like, feeling wealthy. What would that feel like? You know what I mean?
Instead
of trying to, like, come up with a career or a path, or you know what I mean? Like, maybe mm-hmm. I just sit in the feeling of wealth, and as opposed to, you know, some type of a career or type of job.
When you start with that, it will open the way to figure out what those next steps are to fulfill that. You know,
one of the things in Unity is that your job is not your source. God is your source.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's when the priest threw the coin out the window that the nun gave him with Florence.
Oh, yeah.
They needed the children were going to go hungry. They needed food and clothing. And he said, well, give me the coin she had. And he threw it out the window and he said, God is your supply.
Yeah, I remember that now that you mention it.
Yeah.
And it's funny, one of the girls that I've become friends with in through the acting class, she is Christian. She used to be Catholic. So we kind of talked about that a bit, since I was as well. But she said something to me that I found very poignant. And that was, because for a long time I've struggled with this idea of, you know, just surrendering, giving over to God. And I was like, I feel like I've done that over and over and over again. Like, I've, you know, been on my knees. I've been crying. I prayed that, you know, I meditate. And she was like, okay, so how many times did you take it back and play with it?
There you go.
And that really hit me. I was like, oh, probably a lot. Yeah. Because, like, when you truly give it to God, you don't worry about it. You don't take it back and try to figure out, like, oh, how am I going to do this, or worry about it. You just let it completely go. So she's like, if you've let it go that one time, that's great. But if you start worrying about it or trying to figure out what to do, then you've taken it back. Mm-hmm. And you're not allowing the thing to come forward.
And so, when we're in that state of just being consciousness, we're in surrender. That's a surrender, because there's no anxiety there. You know, we're oneness with the divinity within. It's, you know, and you can look at it as complete surrender, because you're reconnecting with that essence of who you are. It's not, because, you know, we're always taught we're separate. We're separated from God. We're separated from God by sin. Well, no, we have the God part within us. So it's reconnecting with that greater consciousness and becoming one with that divinity within. And there is no, you're not taking anything back and playing with it then. Now you can later, you know, we also have that option. We can all take it back and play with it. And we do, but the more you're into the connection of the consciousness, the greater consciousness, that is hard to say, then the more you're there, the less we're taking it back and playing with it.
Yeah.
But it does take effort.
But that was, it really hit me, because I had not really had anyone explain it that way. And so I was like, oh, okay, now I'm getting it. Yeah. Because that's what I'm always told, is just surrender, just surrender. I'm like, I surrender all the time. But I think I also take it back and play with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that so was just, my MO. I give it away, then I take it back, play with it.
Yeah. So I think that's what the issue is like, I can only trust for a certain amount of time, and then I don't see the thing happen. So then I take it back. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been, and honestly, part of it might be the ADD thing, because worrying is another issue that ADD people have. So I think it does go back to that loop of like, okay, my brain is just getting in the way a little bit here. But now that I have that awareness, it's also making it a little bit or understanding for me of like, okay, so that might just be something that my brain does. And then now I just got to catch myself and be like, okay, give it back. You know what I mean? Like, stop playing with it. So, you know, I think
you can figure out more of those positive loops.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, I think I'm going slowly in the right direction, and I'm okay with that. Like, I'm going to be okay with that. And then the stress of the money is, it comes in, and that's really hard for me to not worry about. That's a real hard one for me to really surrender, because it's very, you know, every month I have to pay rent. So it's hard for me to not take it back and worry about it when nothing has shown up. Although my cousin just sold a bag that we purchased together, so I made some money today on that.
Well, there you go. Money coming in from unexpected sources.
Yeah, so I did get that today, and it was right on time, and I was like, awesome. So, you know, maybe there's some cracks happening here. But I think also, like I said, I think I really did need to slow down. I think I was putting too much pressure on myself. And I think that was why I was then taking it back and playing with it.
Anytime we feel ourselves in worry, when you recognize you're in a worry, anxious energy, you have the opportunity to choose not to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got to recognize it.
But that's the thing. Exactly. And also be aware of why it's happening. And I think that's what's helping me now, is like, once I can see it, when I'm aware, when I become aware of it, now I know why it's happening. So then I'm not as, I don't feel as hopeless.
Yeah, but none of it's hopeless. Just remember that. Nothing, no matter what our lives look like, no matter what it is, we have the power within us to improve it. We have to believe it.
Yeah, and I think that's why this has probably come forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can heal it, get rid of it, be done.
Exactly. Yeah, then I'm finally getting these answers. And so it's like, okay, so things might be a little tough right now, but that But like I said, there's a path ahead, there's a way forward. So that somehow makes it better. And then the awareness is of knowing what, where it's coming from, because before, when I didn't know where it was coming from, it would make it very easy to go into the negative or to beat myself up about it because I couldn't figure out why. And so that would frustrate me. Like, why can't I just like anybody else, you know, like, why can't I just get up and do this thing? What, why is it so hard for me when it's so much easier for so many other people? And so then again, you go into, there's something wrong with me. Whereas now it's like, oh, I know why I can't do that. And let me just deal with the fact that this is what I'm dealing with and I'm not going to change it overnight. And then somehow it takes that pressure off, right? So then it's a little bit easier to get out of that feeling, just with the awareness alone and knowing where it's coming from now. So I think it's I think it's kind of huge, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, me falling off the meditations and getting mad and all, I think all of that led me to this. And I think this is going to help me to get over some of that stuff as opposed to just thinking something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because well, it's something you can't define. You know what I mean? Then it's like, well, I'm fighting this dragon, but I can't even see it. Now I have a dragon. Mm-hmm. I can see a dragon. You know what I mean? So it makes it a little bit easier for me now to navigate because it's like, oh, I can see the dragon now. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're going to be friends. Maybe we don't even have to fight. Because, you know, on the plus side, like, because I get distracted so easily, that's why I have attention to detail. You know, so it's like there are positives to some of these things. It's like, yeah, I have the ability to see a very detail oriented things because of that thing that my brain does. So it isn't just bad.
No, there's a lot of positives to it.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm also reminding myself of those things. Like, yeah, but you have these like kind of heightened senses because of it as well in certain places. So, you know, I think it's also being able to switch that perspective as well of from there's something wrong to me, like I have a thing and it's got pluses and minuses, you know, and let me see how I can navigate those pluses and minuses.
Yeah, figuring out what works best.
Yeah, because it's a lot easier to deal with that than like a big unseen problem that I don't know where to even start with. Like, did you guys ever watch Fraggle Rock? Mm-hmm. Back in the day, like, remember they had that big trash heap that they would go to? And that's how it felt before. Like, there's this big trash heap. And I don't even know where to begin. But now it's like, okay, now there's a dragon. I can deal with the dragon. So, yeah. So somehow I think this is all moving me in the right direction. Albeit not as quickly as I would like, but.
Yeah, but there are a lot of things that you can do on your own that don't require, you know, interaction with other people. Like, you know, of course you're talking with your doctor about medication, but, you know, there are things that you can do on your own that you've been doing, the things that work for you. Yeah. And I'll put that loop, quiet the mind together and just try it and see how you feel after doing that.
Yeah, I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, like, so are you...
It's a matter of just retraining, right?
Yep. Yeah, so, you know, we're rewriting neural pathways of belief. I mean, we're all doing that. We're all in the same boat doing that. You know, things that happened in our childhood that convinced us that we're not good enough and that there's something wrong with us and that we're broken. And, that, and you know, believing that we're not now. Stop growling. I don't know what he's even seeing. There's nothing out there. He just stands and looks out the window and growls sometimes.
The tempo has gone over to his toy basket. I think he's about to choose something.
Okay, so I guess it's probably about, is it time for
yeah,
you to
yeah, I'm gonna have to go now.
Take off? Okay, Gail, can you stay a minute?
Yes.
And we can talk your church business for just a moment.
Yes. Kate does our website.
Ooh, Kate does
our church's website.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, check out unityofvancouver.com. She's done a fabulous job.
Oh, thank you.
Unity of Vancouver. Got
it. .org is the one in Canada.
Okay, so
.com.
Okay. I will definitely check that out. That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun to do, that's for sure.
It's magical.
Oh, how exciting.
It was beyond my wildest dreams.
Oh, that's so exciting. Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. But we've just got a couple of more things to tweak up, and I think I got that handle. I just want to talk to Gail about it for just a minute. So you want to send, you like it? You can't see me. Sending you guys lots of love. Send me your hearts.
Thank you guys.
Okay, take good care. Have a good week.
I will. You too.
Bye bye.
See you next week.
See you next week.